Take a few minutes this morning and touch a little bit on last week and the move of the Holy Spirit that we experienced. And last week, this week as well, we have a very diverse church, which is encouraging. I love seeing the world here. I think this is what heaven is going to look like. But we are diverse more than just ethnically. We are diverse really when it comes to church background as well. And so every time we do our membership class, our real life class, and we always ask people, what's your history? What church background do you have? And this is usually always the breakdown. About 25% no real church background. I don't know. We say turn to the book of John. They go, I've never met him. I didn't know he wrote a book. You know, I mean, it's just no clue. And there's about 25% that are AG or Pentecostal who have kind of grown up experiencing this and walking in this. And there's about 25% kind of Catholic. That we always expense. There's always several folks with Catholic background. And then there's 25% about mainline. Now, that's only 425s, right? Okay, I didn't want to give you five because then it's just my whole theory. And so when you have all of these different backgrounds, when you have people who experience something like this, and if you've walked in it before, you go, hey, I know this. I know what's happening. I know who it is. I know what's going on. If you haven't had the experience, you can sometimes kind of look. And I had this last week. I had a couple of people come up to me afterwards and say, hey, what just happened? And so I just want to take a minute. And I just want to help us shape this a little bit. Because I think with every experience, you need to have a peg of knowledge to hang it on. Because if you only have experience and you have no knowledge, that's immature. And it doesn't last. If you only have knowledge and have no experience, it feels very religious and very empty. So maturity takes experiencing what God is doing and experiencing what he talks about in his word, but also a peg of knowledge that it hangs on, and that's how we grow, and that's how we become. Now, the Holy Spirit moved on us, and the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, we believe that Jesus is the Son, and we believe then that the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus told us, he said, listen, I'm going to go, when he was still in the New Testament, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send one to you. Who will lead you into all truth. That's what it says in Acts 14. And the Holy Spirit comes and he endues us with power. And this is what Jesus said he was going to do. He was going to send us the Holy Spirit. And he said in John 14, 15 to 17, if you love me, obey my commandments. We've been talking about hearing and responding. This whole year, hear what the Holy Spirit is doing. Sense what the Holy Spirit is stirring. And when you sense the Holy Spirit stirring within you, step out into it. Our theme for the year, enter in. Enter into those things. And he says, if you do this, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And he spoke to us, and you felt his presence, and he spoke to us, one, in his own accord. You felt things within your own spirits, but he also spoke to us through other people. And I want to take a moment, and I want to remind you what the Holy Spirit said to us last week. Because we have to remember. Because if we don't remind ourselves, you know what we do? We forget. I know that sounds overly simple, doesn't it? But it's a lot more powerful than you realize. We have to remember what God says. So I actually got the DVD or the video. I don't know which CD or whatever it was. I went back and I watched it and I jotted down the key things. This is what the Lord said to us last week. It is a new day and we will not be the same moving forward. Walls have been torn down. Obstacles removed. Don't try to put God in a box. You have been called to more than ordinary. And that was to the church. That was to the families. That was to individuals. We've been called beyond average, called beyond ordinary. God has released the Holy Spirit to us today. God in a moment can change everything, folks. Stop being ordinary. There was a challenge of repentance and a cleansing of the way, all the way back to the foundations of our hearts and the foundations of our homes and the foundations of our lives. It was a challenge of repentance and a cleansing. It said God is doing a new thing and we are called to go with him or we can be taken by the tide. That's important to remember. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. Then we had a testimony time. Our brother came up and he said, God loves you. Humble your hearts. It's time to turn to him, to repent, to receive his love. Humble yourself. God loves you. There was a challenge from one of our youth that the youth are able right now to be used of God. And I hope you heard that. There is no the church of the future. They're the church of right now. Lastly, we were reminded that the new has come and the old is past. Again, visit the foundations of our life. There were several themes that went through. One, family. I thought foundations was something that was spoken about over and over. Obstacles being torn down, just a newness, not the same. God's doing something new to embrace that. So visit the foundation of our lives so that God's name would be glorified was one of the final things said. And I think the dynamic in experiencing something like that, son, is what do we do with this? And I think one of the things we have to understand is we're not meant to be the same. We're not meant to be the same. I really do believe that there are moments in our lives that your life leads up to and then your life leads away from differently. You look at some of the folks who have walked with Christ when Jesus called them to wilderness or called them to moments, and there were things that happened in their lives. They entered it one way, they left it another way. And I feel like God has given us an opportunity to kind of embrace that type thing. God led us into a moment with him where he showed up and he spoke and he stirred and he touched and he healed. And he says, now go and walk differently. Go and be different. We're not meant to be the same. Now what happens is this, though. Our human nature wants to package things. Our human nature says if we can't duplicate it, it's not real. So what we want to do then is we have to say the same words. We've got to sing the same songs. We've got to preach the same message. We've got to do what we did before so that we can experience what we did before. Do y'all remember Shout to the Lord? What an awesome song. The first 8,000 times it was sung. Right? Do you remember that? I mean, it was, oh my goodness, what an anointed song. And people sang it all the time and over and over and over, every service, twice a service. I mean, once at the beginning, once at the end. And after a while, you hear shout to you, you're like, oh heavens. But this is what man wants to do. We want to try to package it. You know, I got to wear my lucky tie. This was the tie that I wore last time God moved, and I got it on again today. And we try to package it. And I just want to say, it was way bigger than that. This was something far bigger than that. This, I believe, goes back to years ago when we started intercessory prayer teams. That while we're in here right now this morning, they're in a classroom praying for us. And they have been doing that for years. This goes back, I think, to the past year where people who have approached me and said, Pastor, on their own, I am praying for our church and I am praying for a move of God on our church and I'm praying for a breakthrough because we're in spiritual battle. Do you sense it? I'm like, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I sense it. We deal with it. We embrace it. We understand what's going on and the enemy's fighting us. But they said, can we have a prayer meeting in our homes that we can lift up the name of Jesus and pray for a move of God? And I said, yeah, you go for it. You do it. Keep me in the loop. Let me know how can I help serve and how can I assist. But you do it. And there's prayer meetings that are happening throughout the weeks over this church and people praying for God to move on this church. God is giving people dreams and visions over the last year of things that are going to happen here and things that are going on here that you don't always get to hear. People come to me and we share, and we just kind of ponder these things in our hearts and say, God, let it be. Things like we experience come because our dear son, I love Don. I love your spirit. I love your ceviche, too. It's awesome. But I love you, and I love your spirit. When a month or two ago, I don't know what triggered you to do it, but she just started getting out of her seat during our worship and coming and just standing here. And I'm telling you, when hearts begin to say, I don't care what anyone else thinks, I'm just going to come and I'm going to give God worship. And it's about me and him. I don't even know. We got invited to her worship service. You know, and I'm telling you, when people begin to step out, when people begin to step out to the stirrings of the Holy Spirit within them, you experience more of the Holy Spirit. It goes back to that. We have an Ethiopian church plant that meets on Sunday mornings up in our upper level. And they have been, I meet with Pastor Mulu about every other week, and we just talk church and ministry. We encourage one another. Beautiful, incredible, amazing woman of God. And every time she sits down, she says, Pastor, I want you to know that we feel like God is going to do something in our church, and God is going to do something in First Assembly and our whole congregation. We've been in prayer, and we've been fasting, and we've been believing God for this. And this past week, we get to sit down, and I'm saying, you won't believe what happened. She's like, well, of course it happened. We've been praying and fasting, and there's a lot that went into leading up, and when you surrender yourselves in worship, our theme for the year that God gave us last fall was enter in. I'm telling you, when God desires to move and God begins to stir, when his people will step into it, things happen and lives are changed. Our services have all been pointed to just that. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been talking about all sorts of stuff, but it all comes back to this. We need the Holy Spirit. I can't bear love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all this stuff that God wants me to bear on my own and in my flesh, because I deal with knuckleheads sometimes. God says, but I can fill you, and I can help you love a knucklehead, because you know what? Where's your knucklehead? We need the Holy Spirit at work in us. We need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And when we step out into what he desires to do, you can watch what God will do. So as we walk forward and as we move forward, what I want to get into your heart, and if you remember anything I say today, I want you to remember this. God moves in hearts, not formulas. God moves in hearts, not formulas. It's not about us saying, if I do this and I act like this and I sing this song and I have this person to my right and this person to my left, well, then God's like, I'm not impressed with formulas. I'm impressed with open hearts. And when our hearts are open, God will move in them. And that's why you can have a God moment in your kitchen fixing dinner. That's why you can have a God moment driving down the road. On your way to work, sitting in traffic, and you're talking with Jesus, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fills the car, and all of a sudden you're having church, and you're singing, and you're praising, and people are looking at you like you're crazy, and you don't even care. You don't even care, man, because you're just having a moment with God. That's why those things can happen. That's why it can break out in a small group, in a corporate service, because it is about the atmosphere of our hearts. In Mark chapter 5, a man named Jairus comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, my daughter is sick and she's dying. Will you come and pray for her that she might be made whole? And Jesus responds and says, yes. And if you read that, he's on the way to Jairus' house when the woman with the issue of blood comes, and she fights through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. Jesus gets held up. Who touched me? And she says, man, it was I. And he says, man, your faith has made you whole. Of faith. We're going to get into faith in a minute. And it's awesome. And in the midst of all of this stuff, the people from Jairus' house, one of the messengers comes and tells Jairus and Jesus, hey, listen, your daughter has died. Don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. He didn't get here in time. And so she's gone. Just come back home and let's mourn. Come back home and let's plan the funeral. Come back home and let's just follow what's normal and ordinary in moments like that. And I love that Jesus tells him, says, listen, don't be afraid, just have faith. And listen to this, Mark 5, 38 to 40. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, who was Jairus, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing, and he went inside and he asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. Look at verse 40. And the crowd laughed at him. Look how Jesus responded. Get out. That's what he did. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. You read the rest of the story. He goes in. He speaks to her. She gets up. She comes out. He says, give the girl something to eat. Why did Jesus clear the room? Because they were messing with his atmosphere. They were messing with his presence. They were messing with the space that he was creating for faith to be fulfilled and miracles to take place. He was messing with that. And it's an incredible thing. Jesus was creating an atmosphere of faith. Jesus was creating an atmosphere of expectation. Now, earlier today and last week, we were told we can go with God or the tide will come and move you. I want to tell you what that's about. That's about atmosphere. That's about we can come and see what God is doing and step into it, because it's an amazing thing. Everybody wants a move of God until God starts moving and it makes us some uncomfortable. God is saying, I'm going to move and I'm going to do God things. And you know what? You can get into it or the tide will come. And he's doing it. Don't come and laugh at what I'm doing. Don't come and doubt at what I can be. Because I'm going to boot you out the room. Because this is a God place. And I'm going to do God things. You see, in the beginning, you read Genesis, God created the heaven and the earth. God looked and there was chaos, and God separated the chaos. And what God was doing was he was creating space. He was creating an atmosphere, because atmosphere determines what lives and dies. I heard this past weekend. I had a gentleman who came. We were at a conference on fathering the next generation, and he talked a little bit about this. And man, I'm going to try to get him in, because it was incredible. It was incredible. And an atmosphere determines what lives and dies. And I'm telling you, when there's an atmosphere of prayer, when there's an atmosphere of surrendered worship, when there's an atmosphere of truth and an atmosphere of change, and we, by the way that we live and think in the culture of our hearts, create an atmosphere when we gather, an expectation that God will fill and move in. So it's as you and I listen to the Holy Spirit and step into it, that there's an atmosphere that's created for him to move in our lives. And that's what we need to do. And we want to help you do this. And so what we're going to do is starting on April 5th, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, is we realize that there's a lot to unpack in and through all of this. And so we're going to have a Wednesday night series on the Holy Spirit in the chapel. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to teach a session. Julian's going to teach a session. Miss Eileen Steele is going to teach a session. Elizabeth Russell is going to teach a session. These are anointed people full of the Holy Spirit. These are people who are experienced with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you the topics that we're going to talk about. The first one is going to be, who is he and where did he come from? Who is the Holy Spirit and where did he come from? What's going on? Second one is going to be this. Why did he come? What's his purpose and what's his mission? Third one is going to be, how does he move? You know, last Sunday we had prophetic words. There are tongues and interpretations. There are words of wisdom, words of knowledge. There's all sorts of ways that the Holy Spirit can move and express himself in and through people. And if we don't know it, it might feel weird or odd or what. I mean, my very first time in an Assemblies of God church, I knew nothing. I grew up a good Methodist boy. And a good Methodist boy meant you were very quiet in church. I mean, you'd sit on pews, and if you leaned over, everyone looked. And I just knew I was going to get a whooping when I got home, because, you know. And so my very first time in an Assemblies of God church, a Pentecostal church, was on a Sunday night service. And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit fell in that place. I had no clue. I knew the Holy Spirit was part of the Trinity, but I'd never seen anything like this. And we're in the middle of a worship service, and people are standing and clapping. And I'm like, y'all, man, y'all couldn't make it in my church. Y'all all get whooping, you know. And all of a sudden, this woman stands up. She speaks in tongues. I know that now. I didn't know what was going on then. And she starts yelling in some crazy gibberish, you know. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with her? And then this woman on this side of the church stands up, and she yells back in English. And I knew now it was tongues and interpretation. Then I just thought there was going to be a fight. You know, I didn't know what was happening. And people were praying on each other, and people were being slain in the Spirit. And I just kind of was sitting there, and I'm thinking, what in the world? A sweet little old lady, Miss Tina, she comes back and she says, sweetheart, do you want to go to the altar and get prayed for? I say, heck no, you know. That pastor, he's knocking people out. I'm not doing that. But here's the thing, and maybe some of you experience this a little bit. Here's the thing is that even though I didn't have understanding of it, and it was weird and it was kind of odd and it was kind of different, there was something in my spirit that said, there's something authentic here. There's something genuine here. There's something here. And I don't know what, and I don't know where the line is between what's God and what's people. I'm 14 years old, but this is how my mind is working. There's something here real, and if it's God, I want it. And I think what we can do, man, if we can understand who he is and where he comes from and why did he come and how does he move, the fourth session is going to be, what does he want from me? Isn't that a great question? What does the Holy Spirit want from you? And then the last one is going to be, how do we move in the Holy Spirit? So it's going to start on April 5th, and it's going to run until April 3rd. So for all those folks who are calendar people, look and say, I just can't always be everywhere. What did I say? Listen, when you start moving in the Holy Spirit, you can go backwards in time. It doesn't matter. Listen, see, we just talked about not putting God in a box, all right? You got, so April the 5th to May the 3rd. That was just a test. You all got it. All right. But listen, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. And it's not just going to be lecture. We're going to have discussion. It's going to be a time that we come together and we really just kind of chew on what the Word says and what God does. So I'm super excited about that. And we're going to work on helping you go deeper and to create that atmosphere that God moves in your heart and in our church as a whole. So please come and be a part of this. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, April 5th is when it's starting. It runs to May 3rd, and it's going to be great. Amen? And now listen, it is 12 o'clock right now. I don't have a super, super long message. I can get you out of here at a decent time if you can hold with me. Can y'all do that? Beautiful. All right, we're going to do that. And one, I'm just going to give you a quick preview of what we talked about last week because it builds on. Last week we talked about purpose and we talked about expectation. That God has a purpose for each and every life. And God also has an expectation for each and every life. That we want to be a people that live up to the expectation of God. And good refers to something that meets that, an expectation or a standard. So we say God is good, and it is God and God alone that is good. He is the definition of good, and we struggle with good because it's not normal and it's not natural for us to be good like it is with God. Romans says that there's none righteous, no, not one. And so for us to have this fruit of goodness in our lives as the people of God should, it has to be done through the Holy Spirit. That you're fearfully made, you're wonderfully made, that God has a purpose for each and every life, an expectation for each and every life. And even when I find myself in a bad place, if I will listen to the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit, good can come from that. But listen to me, if you find yourself in a bad place, and you disobey the Holy Spirit, you can go from bad to worse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, it happens. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Walk with the Holy Spirit. And our verse we gave was Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So we've been created with purpose for purpose, and God has created us with an expectation of our lives, and it's only in obedience that goodness is found. And when you look at this, created in Christ Jesus, here's the thing, to do good works, that's your purpose. I don't know what God's called me to be. That's what he's called you to be. He has created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. That is your purpose, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That's the expectation of God. God says, I've created it. I've prepared it. Now I want you to be in it. It's kind of like a family member who cooks dinner and they have it on the table and you come in and go, I don't feel like that tonight. Don't you love that? It's like you can starve. You could do. God says, listen, I've prepared this. I've created this. I want you to come in and embrace it. That's the expectation of our lives. And Paul goes on to say that while we are not saved by good works, we are saved to do good works that God has prepared for us. And that's the obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now, God's ordained and prepared that we should be good people to perform good deeds, which God has planned for us to do long before you were even saved or born. God has his stuff together. All right, real quick. Galatians 5, 22-23, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness is what we're going to talk about today. Gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Faithfulness is the nature of God. He is absolutely faithful. Not mostly faithful, not faithful half the time. God is absolutely faithful. And so we are called in our lives as believers to have the fruit of faithfulness. Now, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces. It's not something we strive or obtain or create on our own. It is as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, that we feel that He sows into our hearts seeds of faithfulness that grow in obedience and bear fruit in our life. Now, the Greek word for faithfulness or faith is pistis, which means trustworthiness or reliability. I love that word, pistis, trustworthiness or reliability. The Hebrew word is emunah, which means firmness or a sense of stable in, secure in. That's what he's talking about. So in the fruit of faithfulness, God is designed to create in us a trustworthiness, a reliability, a stability in our hearts with him. You see, God sees faith as a total commitment, not an intellectual exercise. You hear me? It's not just about being smart. God says, I'm glad you got it here, but you got to have it here. If it's here, it can just stay here and nothing really changes here or with our feet. But when you get it here and then you get it into your heart, it affects what you do with your hands. It affects where you go with your feet. It affects how you see things, how you speak to things, how you hear things. God says faithfulness and faith is about a total commitment. Faith is of the mind, but it's also of the will and the emotions. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and a life that is lived in the Spirit will bear faith, and it will demonstrate it in our understanding and what we do and in what we feel. That's why when you have faith at work in you, you might see something in the physical that doesn't turn out the way you want. You know, you something goes on and you go, man, that's no good. But when I see it in faith, I go, man, this is just an opportunity for God to be God. Isn't that better than spazzing out? Y'all even know what spazz out means? All right, I just realized, whoop, I said that. I'm not even sure I know the definition. You know, we sometimes freak out. Things go on. We go, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, we don't want to tell God. He's saying, you know, God, you see how big this is? God's like, seriously? Faithfulness helps us to see things differently. And I'm telling you, a person in church that's not walking in faith is walking and functioning in religion. And religion is empty. It's the difference between living the life that God calls us to live or living an okay or an ordinary life. We heard last week, God's called us to more. God's called us to deeper than that. Faithfulness hinges on what we hold as valuable or important. All right, we tend to be faithful to what we think is truly important. Our families. You know, I know that, you know, men that I hang around and people I talk, we when life comes, we one of our first things is how does this impact my wife and my children and my home? Your jobs, if you value your job, you're faithful to it. If you call in sick more days than you actually go to work, I mean, you know, you're not very faithful to it, and it will probably be shown with a little note in 2 weeks. Your friends, whatever it is, what we hold as valuable, we tend to be faithful to. In John 21, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick. In John 21, Jesus has died. He's been resurrected. He's appeared to Mary at the tomb, Thomas. He says, touch the holes in my hand and my side. The disciples are still trying to figure out what's going on before they go back to the life that they had known. And you know, all of a sudden, Peter just out of the blue says, you know what, guys? You know, he's just, and we pick on Peter a lot. We shouldn't, because I think all of us have been here. Something goes on you didn't expect to happen, even though they told you it was going to happen, and now it's happening, and you just say, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to go back to what I know. And that's what Peter does. Peter, in the midst of all, says, I'm going fishing. And several of the guys say, you know what, we're going to go with you, and they follow him. And so they go out, and they fish all night. And they catch nothing. And the morning comes, and they're tired, and they're frustrated, and they're drained, and they're exhausted, and someone walks out on the beach and calls out to them, and I love this. You know, people only ask when you're not catching stuff. You know, hey, did you catch anything? No, we caught nothing. He said, cast your net on the other side. It's like, oh, come on. So So they throw their net on the other side, and then they catch, I put in my notes, a pile of fish. I don't know what a swarm of fish is called, a gaggle, I don't know. A school, there we go, a school of fish. School of fish. They were smart ones. They catch so many that they can't get it into the boat, and while they're pulling on these nets trying to secure it, it says this in the scripture, it says the disciple whom Jesus loved said, I think it's Jesus. And as soon as that happened, Peter's like, oh my gosh, if that's Jesus, and he grabs his cloak and he jumps in the water and he swims to shore. He gets there and Jesus has a fire going and he has fish that he's cooking, and Peter comes in. He just wants his moment with the Lord. And I love this. You know, Jesus tells Peter, hey, listen, bring me some of the fish that you've caught. I've read this passage a lot. That's the first time that really jumped out at me. Hey, bring me some of the fish that you caught. Well, they're still out struggling, trying to get in. So Peter has to go back and help them get the fish in. And he said it was 153 large fish, and the nets didn't break. And I'm telling you, there's a message in there about finishing what God has given you. There's something in there about not leaving the blessing undone and not missing God in your moments. And we know from the scripture that Jesus then has this beautiful conversation with Peter. And three times Peter had denied him, and three times Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Because God knew what he was going to call him to. Jesus knew what he was going to ask of Peter. And I want you to see how he did this. I'm going to focus on verse 15. In John 21, verse 15, says this, and when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I think it's a question of faithfulness. I think that's what's going on. Now, some people say that Jesus was referring to the other disciples, and there could be teaching in that. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I don't think that's all that it was. Do you love me more than these other guys? Do you love me more than the way, I mean, are you going to follow me better than the way they're going to follow me? Peter, do you love me more than these? But I don't think it ends there. I think when he says, Peter, do you love me more than these, that he also was pointing to the boat and to the net. Peter, do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than waking up with the sun and fishing to live for the day? Do you love me more than the ordinary? Do you love me more than just an average pursuit and an average way of living? Peter, do you love me more than that boat and that net and what they gave to you? Because Peter, I know what I've called you to, and I know that there are days ahead that are going to be tough, and people are going to betray you and reject you, and when the times get tough, are you going to try to run back to that boat and net? To a life that was simpler and easy and ordinary. Peter, are you trustworthy? Are you reliable? Are you firm or stable in? You see, Jesus wanted Peter to hold him of greater importance than anything else. And the truth of the matter is, he wants the same thing from you. Do you love him more than anything else in your life? God is faithful in carrying out his part in building the Christian character. God's faithfulness guarantees the process of sanctification and the maturing of a Christian life. He's not like men who begin a project and lose interest or run into difficulties and quit or consider it too hard to finish or become impatient or bored and stop. He does not begin a good work and then get disgusted with it and turn to something else. He does not begin and then discover that he lacks the resources to finish it and give up. Men do this. God does not. God never stops until he is finished and he is satisfied. God never stops until good has come, as long as you are willing to obey. Praise God. God is faithful. And God calls us to be faithful, to bear in our lives faithfulness. It's easy to believe in God, but it takes faithfulness to actually believe his teaching enough to change our lives, to step out of the ordinary into the Holy Spirit. And the thing is this, we can't do it on our own because it's not in us. We want to quit when it gets hard. We want to stop when it doesn't work the way we thought it was going to work, at the speed we thought it was going to work in. We get impatient. We get frustrated. We get tired. We say, well, it's just not what God asked of me. It is what God asked of us. We just gave up way too soon. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives and at work in our lives. And here's the thing, and I'm going to wrap up with this. The Holy Spirit will always be faithful to the Father. So think about this. If the Holy Spirit is always going to be faithful to the Father, and I in my life and you in your life, determined in our hearts and determined in our lives, as we wake up in the morning, as we go throughout our day, I am going to listen for the Holy Spirit. And when I feel Him speak, I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I may have to step out of comfort zones. I might have to step out of things in my life that you know what, I wouldn't have normally gone into or thought about or embraced. But if the Holy Spirit leads me to it, I'm going to do it. And when I am moving in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and I know that the Holy Spirit will always be faithful to the Father, do you realize that we're being faithful to the Father? And I'm telling you something. When God wants something done, how many of you know it gets done? It doesn't matter how big or small it is. I'm telling you, every person in, look at your neighbor. Say, I'm talking to you. So I say something like I'm about to say, we all look at the super spiritual people. Oh, yeah, that counts. That's them. I'm telling you, everybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you've been saved 30 years and you have breakfast with Jesus, I don't care if you've been saved 20 minutes, I'm telling you that if God wants something done and the Holy Spirit leads you in obedience and you step into the Holy Spirit, you can lay hands on the dead and see Him come to life again if the Father wants it done and we're being obedient to the Spirit. That is why we've got to follow the Holy Spirit in our life and through our life. And if I live my life in the Spirit and I listen to the Spirit and I'm obedient to the Spirit, I will be faithful to the Father as well. Think of what can be done. Think of the works that God can do in you and in me and in us and in this church and through this church. We need the Holy Spirit. We have to open our hearts and we have to let Him in. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.